This morning, as we have seen a lot of things already that I hope have greatly encouraged your heart, we want to take that idea of the question, what exactly is the church all about? And just for a few minutes, we're going to look at a couple of verses from the book of Acts, chapter 6, in our Church Reborn series, and we're going to be talking about reborn for service. Acts chapter 6 shows that great things were happening in the church as they were growing and loving one another and loving their community around them, but they also came across a lot of concerns and problems. Every church has a particular mission and vision and calling and weight or burden to carry. The early church in Acts certainly had their share. In verse 1, it begins reading like this: "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' So they picked 7 individuals who were full of God's Spirit. They laid hands, and jumping down to verse 6, these they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And this is what happened, verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." This is God's word. Church can be one of the most beautiful places and experiences that we can have in this life. But church also can be a place and an experience that can be quite challenging as we think about conflicts and problems. We have a call as a church to help those that are lonely, to those who have lost loved ones and are grieving, to those that are sick or angry, whether it be singles or families or seniors, or those, anyone here struggling with something in their life? Yes, all these things. And so because of the call that God has for the church, his body, to reach out and love people and needs wherever we are at, in our communities, in our towns, in our neighborhoods, church sometimes can be a little bit messy. It will never be a completely perfect place. Here in our passage, people were coming to know and love Jesus from all different kind of cultural and ethnic backgrounds because Jesus is so big and so powerful and so beautiful that he was attracting people from all over the empire to come and come to know him. Here in our passage, there were two groups of believers. One were called Hellenists, who were mainly living outside of Palestine, where Jerusalem was, and they mainly spoke Greek. Then there were another group of people who were Jews in Palestine that spoke Aramaic. And because of the challenges in their times, Everything was very expensive, and especially the widows, once they lost their husbands, they were very vulnerable and often didn't have a lot of resources, didn't have a lot of money, and often needed help with daily needs like food to eat. In the midst of the mission and vision of the church, of trying to minister to so many different kinds of people that Jesus wanted the church to do, not on purpose, but the widows who spoke Greek were being neglected in the daily distribution of food so that they could eat. And they were very upset and hurt. That's going to happen sometimes. They weren't intentionally trying to not give them food, but in the midst of all that was going on, they ended up overlooking the needs of the widows, the Hellenists that spoke Greek. The apostles, who were very, very busy doing their best to preach the word of God and pray and lead this new movement of sharing Jesus' love with all those who are hurting in different ways, singles, young people, children, families, the elderly, they realized that unless action was taken, that what God was doing in the church as it was growing and lives were being changed and impacted would have come to a halt. And so they realized, we need help. And so they gathered together, they shared with all the other disciples, what are we going to do as a church is growing and there's so many people we want to help and love, but we need help. And so they prayed and found individuals, these men who were full of God's Spirit, who were humble, that were gifted, who were organized and that could help. And they jumped right in after they were prayed for this task, so that the ministry of both word and deed could continue on without hindrance. As we think about that, let me share with you just a few things very briefly as we prepare to approach the Lord's table in communion. Every church, first of all, has incredible God-given potential, because Jesus, who he is, as the head of the church, as the good shepherd, as our great high priest, as the Lord of all, and the Savior of our lives, when he allows a church to be in a local community, he puts into the life and DNA of that church all that it could be when he is the head, when he is the boss, when he is the Lord of that congregation. There's so much potential in every congregation. Just like, and I've never been out to see the sequoia trees, but these little things are its seeds inside that pine cone. Look how small that is. And in a few years, one of those tiny little seeds becomes massive. It's on my bucket list to see some of these great sequoia trees. Some of you have visited out west and have seen that. That is a serious tree. Look at that thing. I struggle cutting down some of the little trees in my own backyard. It takes me forever. I almost destroyed my home. I can't even imagine how large that tree is. Out of that little seed, all the potential of life, nourishment, flourishing is in that tiny little seed that one day can grow up to almost 300 feet tall, 26-story building. I believe every church and every individual has this potential because we have been called and made in the image of God. And so, no matter where a church is at, we know that God has put the potential of this kind of life and growth and power into that one congregation. Just like a seed can grow to become a giant, almost 300-foot sequoia. But sadly, not every seed grows into the giant sequoia. Not every church reaches its God-given potential. And that is tragic and sad. Why is that? Secondly, getting beyond survival mode is the key. Getting beyond survival mode is the key for a congregation, a church, to reach its glorious potential. In order for us to be able to reach our God-given potential for this generation at this time, not from the 1960s, not from the 1860s, not in the 1990s, but today, here in 2022. Is that the correct year? Yes, 2022. Oh my gosh, it sounds so futuristic. 2022. That is what God has called us to do and be at this time and this place. But if a church is only in survival mode, it will never be able to reach its God-given potential. Pastor, what do you mean survival mode? I mean, as we think about all the needs, all the different people in our community, we want to reach them all, but because it was just Doug and I holding the parachute, the needs were being dropped. We couldn't even carry this beautiful load and responsibility and heart to help. Survival mode means that a church is barely able to get by Sunday to Sunday. It's a church that reflects what we call the Pareto principle, that often 20% of that group of people do 80% of the work. And when that dynamic is reflective of a congregation, you will continually be in survival mode. If Doug and I were holding this, and as we see more and more needs and people and situations that we want to help and love and minister, there's so much. We could put hundreds on this parachute, but they would continually fall off. Unless we move beyond the Pareto principle of 20% of the congregation doing 80% of the work, we will not be able to be what God has called us to be and his light and salt in this world. Ministry needs, financial needs, people needs, relational needs. There's so much. We want to see so much happen and love on our community. But we can't do it alone. And if a church does not move beyond the Pareto principle of 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, we will not be able to see the beautiful sequoia grow and be a blessing to all those around it. The Christian life and calling is not a spectator sport. The Christian life and calling is not a show to be watched or a performance to be entertained by. It is a radical invitation into the heart of God, into his family and his kingdom, as we are called to be his hands and his feet, the body of Jesus Christ. And so unless there are more hands to help between Doug and I, needs will continually fall off through the cracks. It is not a spectator sport. David Peterson says this: the satisfactory resolution of the conflict in Jerusalem here in Acts makes it for this ministry of the gospel to flourish and for church growth to take place even more rapidly. It goes hand in hand. And so thirdly, and may I share with you that the greatest tragedy is a church with unrealized potential. When you see that seed, what it actually could become, when we're able to move beyond this Pareto principle and see all hands on deck, our reach, our ability, our impact, our power, and our influence can move beyond just the one or two that can remain in this parachute with just one or two of us holding it. And if we cannot get beyond survival mode, we'll never unlock the potential that God has put into a congregation for a certain location for a certain time in this life. The greatest tragedy is a church with unrealized potential. I believe that the opportunities that God has given to us is unbelievable here at Trinity Covenant Church. That's why my family came 5 years ago and left everything behind to start all over with you all. We saw the potential. Even through the pandemic, as difficult and damaging as it has been, the opportunity and the potential is still there. If we can unite our hearts in the love of Christ, if we can rally together and dream once again of being a dynamic, impactful community of Christ followers for the gospel, I believe the opportunities are still at hand to see great, mighty, beautiful things to happen in our generation, in our time. And so I close out with this. I want to challenge you this year to take the one step challenge. The one step challenge. And simply it's this. Wherever you're at, no matter how involved you may be or how little you may be involved, whatever, it doesn't matter. For us to move beyond survival mode, I invite all of us, I challenge you and invite you to take one concrete step toward greater impact in your life. For some of us, it might be that you are at home watching the service live streaming and physically you are able to be here. I invite you to take that small step and come join us. We miss you. We do. And our church is not the same without your ministry, your love, your life, and your presence. Take one small step this year. For some, it's being a little more consistent. Maybe you're about a once a monther attending service, and that's okay. At least we're seeing you then. But take that small step and maybe try to make it out twice a month for service. We're not asking you to come to church every day that I unfortunately have to do. No, just kidding. I love it. I love my call. But just one small step more. Maybe you can be a twice a monther so we can see your beautiful face and family and we will be better for it. Perhaps it's finally taking a step to get a little more meaningfully connected, more than just attending a service. It's taking a class. It's trying out a small group. It's getting involved in a ministry team. Just one small step. I'm inviting you and challenging you so that we can get out of the survival mode, get more hands around the parachute, and we can see great and beautiful things happen at Trinity Covenant Church. Maybe, and maybe you'll stop clapping after this, maybe financially you have never really given ever before. Maybe end of the year out of guilt. Oh boy, I've not really given anything. Take one small step. Don't even change amount. But maybe at the beginning of the month, Lord, this is how much you have blessed me with. You have given me health and education, experience. And not just as a token, but as an act of worship. I want to give to you first this amount. That would be a small step. If you are giving maybe 1% of your income, you can't jump to a full tithe. You'll be in shock. But could you go from 1% to 2%? A small step. Take baby steps so that we as a community can move out of survival mode and see the God-given potential of what we can do as a church for our generation. Imagine if each and every one of us were to think about one person that we could call or write a letter to or visit this week. We miss you. I miss you. Our lives are not the same without you. How are you? We love to see you again. Could you imagine if each of us could contact one person that we've not seen in a while? 200 calls could be made. That would take me more than 2 years to do on my own. In one fell swoop, we could do 200 points of loving contact that will make all the difference in the world for people that are discouraged, lonely, and wondering, does anyone care about me? This is how we begin to grab the ends of the parachute and begin to move out of survival mode, where 20% of the people who awfully need a break can begin to really see impact. I remember when I was in grammar school that this was one of my favorite activities. When in a circle you would get the air going and then flip it up and miraculously it would stay up there. And then you crawl in and be amazed, just like these children are doing. It is very, very easy to jump in when the parachute is up and when it's fun and colorful and beautiful and entertaining. But what we need, and there's nothing wrong with this, but what we need to move out of survival mode is this. And so this is the invitation to grab the handles and begin to help us so that we can help and minister and share the love of Christ with those that are grieving, those that are lonely, those that are hurting. But we cannot do it if we're constantly in a state of just pure survival Sunday to Sunday. The result and fruit, and I'll end with this, was verse 7. When a community, even the early church in Acts, moves out of survival mode and gets an all hands on deck dynamic going, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. This is what I want to see happen here at Trinity, even through the pandemic, as devastating that it has been. We can dream once again, and we want to see many touched by the love of Christ through Trinity Covenant Church. Amen? Amen.